capable of keeping us strong up here.
Representative Davis?
Actually, that was, leads into the question, what question I was going to ask, which is specifically about the Loran site that was on the Pribilofs at St. Paul. Is, what is the status of that?
It's an active site.
And it's still, it's actively manned?
Oh, yes, sir. All of our stations are still actively manned. Of course, you know, if you've ever been up to Fort Clarence, you'll know that that's probably the most sophisticated station in terms of infrastructure that exists any place in the world. It's a city. I mean, it is an interesting place to go to go visit. The St. Paul station is certainly actively manned. A number of years ago, the Coast Guard went to a minimally manned station concept, where we most efficient organization concept. And so we dropped a couple of billets, but that was a number of years ago. That was close to 8 years ago. My sense of the St. Paul station is, even as the Loran system shuts down, there will be a presence there, primarily because of its physical location and the need to maintain the tower and some communications transmitting and receiving capability out of St. Paul. So that station, as I said, as well as the other Loran stations, are certainly active in Tok and, you know.
I had the pleasure of visiting that site when, as I said, when in my former life as a seismologist, and the personnel there were very supportive of.
That is a blueprint station. If you walk on that, I can walk on that station, close my eyes, and walk around it, because I've been on almost every Loran station in the world, and some of them are just all alike. You know, they're just sort of cookie cutter kind of deal, and that's one of them.
Representative Foster.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I there for 20 years. Every year, I flew up three or four aircraft loads of gals from Nome on Coast Guard Day. It's August 5 every year, and for softball in Fort Clarence. And God, you know, I've been through a lot of military installations, but I've never seen such high morale at such a remote station as the Coast Guard people up there. And the people in Teller, for example, in Brevik, are so proud, you know, to be so close to them. And I know quite a few times the Coast Guard there has saved some lives on search and rescues. Some of the village people there getting lost around Fort Clarence. But anyway, it's quite a place, and we're glad to have it there.
Well, you know, as you look at the history of the Coast Guard, at least in my 30-year career, what we do as an organization has changed remarkably in terms of application of our resources. The majority of our resources were applied to search and rescue and things of that nature, military operations, Vietnam, so on, when I came in the 60s. And certainly now we've shifted much more towards environmental protection, marine safety, and those kinds of mission areas, because that's been our national will. Most of us, however, really believe that the search and rescue reason is why we're in the company and why we enjoy it. And certainly we think in Alaska that some of the initiatives that our marine safety organization has initiated has made a substantial difference in saving lives. Looking at, in the fishing vessel safety arena, the average number of deaths per year for many years was at 38. I mean, just you could just clock it right across. Well, as a result of some legislation and some very active at-sea enforcement and shoreside enforcement of the Fishing Vessel Safety Act, the numbers now went just like this. It was a beautiful curve to watch. It went right down, and it's hovering around 13. And when you go back, which we do, we go back and look at, you know, why were there 13? Because we don't want 13. Zero is the objective. And I think that, you know, to make that kind of change is going to require some federal legislation in terms of stability issues with certain classes of vessels. But we feel very strongly that we're having a positive impact in the Alaskan community along that line.
I'd be negligent if I didn't ask, with Representative Moses being here. The Coast Guard does desire to maintain a presence at ADAC?
Absolutely. And we've provided... Good day, sir. It's been a while. We've provided a lot of information about what our resource use would be, and certainly there are a variety of things. Our cutters that are working in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska would much prefer to go to ADAC because of its easy access and the mooring, and certainly it's close to our area of presence, and certainly we like it as an alternate base for our aircraft. So we've provided, you know, volumes and gallons and things of that sort of services that we know that we would be more than willing to put into that. And we think that certainly whatever option that the state or any community or corporate organization could do to make that available to us would be to our advantage operationally. It's not an emotional issue. It's a pure operational necessity for us to continue to have flexibility as we work in the theater, because the landing strips are not always open, which is a bad deal when you're flying, you know.
That's a real bad deal.
And certainly the ability to get in and grab fuel if you've got a long SAR case to go, to run on, if you're en route. And certainly access to ADAC is very convenient for working the high drift areas that are south and to the west. So it's certainly an important resource for us.
Further questions or comments?
Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
On behalf of the committee, I would like to thank all of our invited guests and their staff for being with us today and sharing your comments with the committee. Again, thank you very much. We certainly look forward to seeing you down here in Juneau. And with that, we will adjourn the committee at 7:10.
There you go.
Good, huh? Your place.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wonder if I can attend a place.